Friday, November 9th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every weekday, we talk sports with a dose of common sense, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Friday to you. We have made it to another Friday. You know, it was actually on this day, November 9th, back in 1996, that Evander Holyfield upset Mike Tyson in an 11th round knockout in Las Vegas. He regained that WBA heavyweight boxing title. He was the second boxer after Muhammad Ali to win a heavyweight title three different times. Now, if you remember this fight, this was actually not the ear-biting fight. This was the first fight when Tyson, you know, was still actually trying to win the fight instead of just giving up and going crazy and trying to chomp on Evander's head. But Evander was just a way better fighter than he really gets credit for. I mean, he was a tough guy. People think of Evander versus Tyson as like one tough street guy and one kind of country boy from the better side of the tracks. That's not exactly how that was. Evander was just as much of a street kid as Tyson, if not more, and he was a way better boxer. He was a way better fighter. He was a light heavyweight fighting as a heavyweight. He went into that ring and he bullied the bully. And then, of course, he did it again in the second fight. Evander Holyfield was a pretty good fighter. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show and maybe tell us a good fighter that, you know, Mike Tyson actually beat, we would love to hear from you, although you might not have a very long list. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosesports. Doesn't have to be about Mike Tyson or Evander Holyfield. Maybe you've got a certain subject you would like us to tackle. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you've got a suggestion. Reach out to us. We would love to hear what you have to say. Today on the show, got a couple of things coming out in the world of breaking news. And we will also have our weekend sports preview as we kind of let you know, hey, here's how you might want to plan your weekend. Couple of big games you might want to tune in for so that you can kind of balance your time and figure out when you need to be next to a TV or some sort of device to watch some of these events that are going to be coming out. And as we do on most Fridays, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5, a very popular segment on the show. You never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go, but you know that you have to tune in on Fridays just to find out. Hey, we've got a few things coming out in the world of breaking news. Let's start off in the NFL with the Thursday night game that took place last night. The Pittsburgh Steelers hung a 50-burger on the Carolina Panthers last night. They beat the Panthers 52-21. And you know, Pittsburgh is starting to look like they could be a contender in the AFC. And it's funny because you see that score, you see the 50 points, and right away you think offense, understandably. But the turnaround that we have seen for Pittsburgh so far this season is that defense. Do you realize through the first four games of the season, the Steelers were 1-2-1. Remember, they got off to that cold start. They were allowing 29 points per game. Since then, they are allowing just 18 points per game, and they're 5-0. That's not a coincidence. The Steelers are getting better, and they're getting better because of their defense. Now, why Carolina came in last night, didn't look ready to play, I have no idea. There was plenty on the line last night for Carolina. They showed up and just went through the motions. Not a good sign if you're Carolina, but the Pittsburgh Steelers have to be feeling very good about that win last night. One interesting article coming out that kind of grabbed my attention in Major League Baseball, especially since we just talked a little Major League Baseball yesterday, and we discussed where outfielder Bryce Harper could end up. Well, according to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, Bryce Harper, the free agent outfielder, who could be one of the most popular athletes in this city, Nightingale says he's headed to Philadelphia. Yeah. He says he's going to be a Philly. Nightingale says it looked all along like Harper was going to remain in Washington, even though they hadn't got a deal worked out. But that was before word leaked Tuesday that he had rejected a 10-year, $300 million contract back in September. So that kind of tells us if they're going to offer him $300 million and he's saying no, then what would they have to offer for him to say yes? When looking at other teams that could be interested in Harper, Nightingale says the Chicago Cubs don't want to spend that much money unless someone were to take Jason Hayward or Yu Darvish, he says the Dodgers really don't have that much interest. He says the St. Louis Cardinals just isn't a big enough town for Bryce Harper. He wants something bigger. And he says the San Francisco Giants are in the midst of a rebuild. That leaves Philadelphia, who he says would possibly pay him up to and even more than $400 million. He says the Phillies are desperate to land a star. He also says Manny Machado wants to go to the New York Yankees, and that the Yankees want Machado, so Philadelphia is the only place that makes any sense for Bryce Harper. Hey, I'm not saying it's true. I don't know if it's true, but Bob Nightingale knows Major League Baseball far better than I do. He says that is what is going to happen. I don't know. We're just going to have to kind of sit back and watch and see if that is what ends up taking place. Of all the places in Major League Baseball, I don't know if Philadelphia was the place that I would see Bryce Harper going, but hey, they do have money, and maybe this just makes sense all the way around. Like I said, I just didn't see it coming. We'll see what happens with Bryce Harper. Finally, we do have one news story coming out in college football. And when I say news story, I mean only sort of a news story, because news coming out of South Bend is that Notre Dame's quest to stay undefeated, and by doing so, stay in that college football playoff mix, could have a little bit of trouble this weekend, because quarterback Ian Book reportedly is going to miss Saturday's game against Florida State. Yeah, they're saying Book suffered multiple injuries to his midsection last Saturday against Northwestern. Not sure exactly what that even means, but he should just miss this one game and be back for number 19 Syracuse the following week. Couple things about this, though. First off, this sounds like news more than it actually is news. Florida State is horrible. Florida State is so bad that Notre Dame could sit every single starter on the first team and still handle Florida State by probably a touchdown, 10 points. That's how bad the Seminoles are this year. Second, I know everyone's going to look at that game next week against Syracuse and say, hey, that is the last chance for Notre Dame to lose, and it probably is. But we are seeing a couple of teams from that ACC conference move up into the top 25. They have no business being there. I don't know if Syracuse is that good. I don't know if Boston College is that good. I don't know if North Carolina State is that good, but teams keep losing. They keep dropping, and as a result, they have to put someone into the top 25. So Notre Dame, yes, they have to keep winning. Yes, they're going to have to do it without their starting quarterback. Is this really going to be a tough test, and are they really going to have to eke one out this weekend against Florida State? No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be a cakewalk, even with the backup quarterback. But hey, got to have something out there for the news. And it helps if it's about Notre Dame, because we know that you either hate them or you love them. So they put that out this week. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our weekend sports preview. We do have a couple of good games this weekend, and we do have a new sport to keep an eye on. Yes, it started this week. College hoops got started this past week. No, there's not really any marquee matchups, except for one. There is one game you're going to want to tune in for, but you might want to clear that calendar this weekend, because there are some good games to tune in for. Okay, let's shift over to our weekend sports preview. You know, we do try to do this just to let you know what's coming up over the weekend in case you haven't had a chance to look. You don't want to be that person that missed the game because you just didn't know it was on. So we try to give you a heads up so you can plan out your weekend. You don't want to be planning some event and forget the big game was on and you completely missed it, or you missed the first half of it. So we try to just give you an idea how to kind of plan out your weekend, and then you make sure to see the games that you want to see. You know, we have been picking the games lately. And last week, once again, we went 9-0 on our picks. Now, I'm just throwing that out there. Sports betting is coming. Maybe you should be listening to the Daily Dose. Get some ideas which games to pick. But we've been warming up lately. Been doing okay on our picks. Remember, all times given our Mountain Time Zone, here is what is coming for you this weekend. Starting off tonight at 7:30, like I said, college hoops is now underway, and I know it's still a little bit early to really watch college basketball, but if you are in the mood to watch some this weekend, your best bet is tonight, because we have number 25 Washington going to number 11 Auburn, where head coach Bruce Pearl, he should be making a push for an SEC title. Auburn should be going to the big dance. I mean, at least until he and his staff get suspended and then fired, and then Auburn is forced to vacate wins in a few years. We know that stuff's all coming, right? Like, we can just assume that's all in the works. But for now, Auburn is number 11. They're going to be pretty tough this year. They return some talent. And the Washington Huskies should have a solid backcourt this year. We know good guards can carry you in college hoops. This should be a pretty entertaining game. Not a whole lot of top teams facing top teams. I mean, like Duke plays this weekend, if you really want to watch them, but they're facing Army. I don't know how good that's going to be. But if you want to see top 25 teams playing tonight, 7:30, number 25 Washington versus number 11 Auburn, I will take Auburn at home in this game. Also at 7:30 tonight, we do have an interesting early season NBA game as Gordon Hayward and the Boston Celtics go to Utah, where, of course, Hayward spent his first seven seasons in the league. You know, both of these teams have started a little bit slow, but we know they're both going to figure it out. They both have very good coaches. They're both going to be very solid defensively, and I expect them both to be going to the playoffs. I think I'm going to take Boston on the road in this one. I think they're playing a little bit better than Utah right now. I think Utah will figure it out, but for now, I'll go with the Celtics on the road. Also tonight at 8:15, here is a game that might be a little off of your radar, but if you're looking for an entertaining college football game to watch on a Friday night, check out this battle in the Mountain West between number 23 Fresno State and, at least for right now, unranked Boise State. Now, Fresno State is 8-1, and they can score some points. They've got quarterback Marcus McMarion. And do you remember head coach Jeff Tedford? Remember when he used to be back at Cal, and Cal was rolling out these high-scoring offenses? Well, he's at Fresno now. Here is a crazy stat for you to keep in mind. The only ranked team right now from the state of California, yeah, Fresno State. Whoever thought that would be the case? And they are only the second ranked team west of the state of Texas. The other one, of course, being Washington State. What is going on with football in the West these days? We have nothing. We have nothing right now in the West. Kind of crazy to think about. We know Boise State hasn't been as good as they had hoped, but they're still 7-2. They're always tough at home. This could be a Mountain West championship game preview. I am going to go with Fresno in this game on the road, but this should be a pretty entertaining game. Moving forward to Saturday, we have a very interesting Big Ten matchup as those stumbling Ohio State Buckeyes are holding on for dear life to second place in the East just behind Michigan. They're just ahead of Michigan State. The Spartans aren't doing much better this year, although they seem to have figured things out lately. So number 10 Ohio State versus number 18 Michigan State, it really could come down to the final possession. And I'm kind of struggling with who to pick in this one. I think I'm going to go with Ohio State, though. I don't like how they're playing. I see a lot of flaws with Ohio State, especially defensively. I just think quarterback Dwayne Haskins is too good, so I will go with the Buckeyes in this one. At 1:30, we actually have Bedlam this weekend. Yeah, it's a little earlier than usual, as Oklahoma State goes to Oklahoma for what is a very heated rivalry, although this game actually looks pretty lopsided.
That ain't true!
Oklahoma is favored by 20-plus points, and on paper, this game shouldn't be close. Oklahoma State is unranked. Oklahoma is number 6. The game is in Norman, and OU quarterback Kyler Murray is just too much, but couldn't you just see Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy getting his boys ready, having them ready to go on Saturday? I mean, we've seen good Oklahoma State this year. Remember, they went and handled Boise. They beat Texas. We've seen them play well. We've also seen them look absolutely horrible. I'm going to pick Oklahoma in this game, but I could totally see Gundy getting his boys ready and making this a closer game than anyone expects. And you know, I've heard that they moved this game up because they thought this was going to end up being played again in the Big 12 championship game. Yeah, instead, it's looking like it's going to be Oklahoma, West Virginia at the end of the season, and then them playing again in the Big 12 championship game. Nice job, Big 12. Looks like you screwed that one up. Moving on to 5 p.m., we have the number 24 Auburn Tigers versus the number 5 Georgia Bulldogs. Hey, Auburn is back among the top 25 rankings. They have now won back-to-back games. And I'm not sure if Gus Malzahn is going to get credit for that. but he probably deserves some. Because Auburn has stumbled. Auburn had fallen down. He's kind of rallied these troops. We'll have to see how long it lasts. But for now, Auburn is fighting back. They will go to Athens to face a Georgia Bulldogs team. And Georgia is just starting to look to me like they are figuring things out. They're starting to run the ball, and they're running it effectively. They're starting to play defense. And that is what we expected from Georgia all along. All of a sudden, when you're running the football, hey, Jake Fromm looks a lot better, doesn't he? Georgia seems to be figuring things out. I think Auburn is going to need their A game here. I will take Georgia at home in that one. At 6 p.m., we do have one more college football game that I don't think is going to be great, but you do have number 2 Clemson going to number 17 Boston College. And, you know, the Clemson Tigers, I guess they face the closest thing to a challenge that they'll probably have the rest of the season. Boston College is 7-2, which, I mean, that's solid, right? But they lost to Purdue, and they lost to North Carolina State. That makes me worry just a little bit as to what Clemson might do to them. Yeah, I'll go ahead and take Clemson on that one. Moving on to Sunday, couple NFL games that might be interesting to you. At 11 a.m., we have what could be an interesting game and could be a really ugly game, because the Tennessee Titans have a knack of making you play ugly. We'll see if they can do that to the New England Patriots, who have looked ugly at times. Thinking back to when they faced Buffalo a few weeks ago, that was not very pretty. But more interesting than the game itself, which, like I said, I think Tennessee will try to muck up and just make it ugly, is the fact that former Patriots benched cornerback Malcolm Butler gets to face his former team as he is now with Tennessee. And Butler has been truly horrible for the Titans. Kind of makes you think Belichick knew what he was doing when he benched him, doesn't it? And you just know that Bill Belichick is probably looking to target Malcolm Butler and say, hey, remember after the Super Bowl? And you kind of tried to throw everything on me, like, hey, we'd have won the game if you'd have just played me, but for some reason you benched me. Don't you just feel like Bill Belichick is drawing up a game plan right now and saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. I don't care if we win. I don't care if we lose. We're going to make Malcolm Butler look horrible on Sunday. I don't know. I could see Tom Brady going right at him again and again. Can he step up and make a few plays? I doubt it. I'll take the Patriots in that game. Also at 11 a.m., we have a game that doesn't look that great on paper. I mean, it's between 2-3-5 teams, but it kind of feels like these two teams are headed in different directions, and we're going to have to see which one can step up, because the Indianapolis Colts have now won 2 in a row. Andrew Luck looks like he's getting a little bit better. They're going to be facing the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have now lost 4 games in a row. And Blake Bortles looks like he should go snowboarding real soon. The loser of this game is going to drop to 3-6 and dead last in the AFC South. This game is being played in Indianapolis. I know Indy has looked better, but they haven't beaten anyone tough. I'm going to take Jacksonville in this one. I'm going to go with the road team. Finally, at 2:25 Sunday afternoon, we have the Seattle Seahawks going to Los Angeles to play the Rams. We know, of course, the Rams are no longer undefeated. They are going to be looking to bounce back. And the Seattle Seahawks, no, they're not great, but they're scratching. They're clawing. They're trying to stay in the playoff picture. And the fact that this game is in LA means there's basically no home field advantage. There'll probably be more Seattle fans than there will be Rams fans. Can Pete Carroll return to Southern California and get a win in a place where he has vacated so many wins before? We'll see about that. I'm going to take the Rams in that one. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. We talked a little about quarterbacks this week. And one thing I was noticing when we were talking about quarterbacks, everyone is talking about Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. It's all very positive. Kid looks great. He's really fun to watch. I wonder if that's going to last. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, and I hate to bring this up, I really do, but Christmas is coming quickly. I know you don't want to think about that, but it is coming quickly. You might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. November's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Laboratory. Some truths can only be found under a microscope. Countless experiments in the Loot Crate Laboratory have yielded a collection of cutting-edge gear that exists beyond mortality. Are you ready for the next step? Hey, November's Loot Crate theme features items from BioShock, Westworld, and Better Call Saul. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate. You can choose from a huge selection of crates. You can pick a monthly subscription of crates that you can order or skip every single month if you like what they're offering. Or you can just go over to Loot Crate and pick individual items to order. And trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose each and every day. Now, as we do every Friday, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like I said, we have been discussing some quarterbacks this week here on The Dose. On Tuesday, we looked at some winners and some losers from the NFL this past week. On Wednesday, we talked about the top-rated quarterbacks this season in both the NFL and in college football. And of course, this season in college football, we are seeing some pretty solid quarterbacks, but I noticed one thing about them. Maybe it's just because we don't know them quite as well, but have you noticed we don't hate quarterbacks like we used to? I mean, I watched Tua Tagovailoa. I have no allegiance to Alabama whatsoever. I'm pretty sick of Alabama, to be real honest, but I'm kind of rooting for the kid. Like, I like him. I like the way he plays. I like his attitude. I like the way he carries himself. Same thing with Kyler Murray at Oklahoma, Jake Fromm at Georgia. But that hasn't always been the case, especially in college football. And we can say it's just this era where kids don't stay as long or they're more polished with the way they carry themselves or whatever. But I'm not sure that's the case. Today on the Daily Dose, we take a look back at five college quarterbacks that we loved to hate. We did not like these guys when they played. I don't know what it was about them. Certain guys, certain attitudes, certain things they did, we just didn't like them. Here are the top five most hated college quarterbacks of all time. Starting off at number five. You know, when we all heard that Michael Vick had a little brother, our minds went to all kinds of possibilities, right? Maybe he's faster. Maybe he's even better. Yeah, he wasn't. Marcus Vick was nothing like his famous brother in terms of on-field production at all. He's a decent runner, I guess, but Marcus couldn't throw it in the ocean. He never handled the spotlight well when he was with Virginia Tech, and that wasn't the worst part. He got in all kinds of trouble off the field. On the field, he taunted opposing fan bases. Remember, he even stomped on former Louisville Cardinal Elvis Dumervil in the Gator Bowl. Like I said, opposing fans hated Marcus Vick. They blasted him every chance they got for not being as good as his brother, for not being really good at all. Eventually, he would get kicked off the team and be suspended for the entire 2004 season due to numerous criminal convictions. Vick then declared himself eligible for the NFL spring draft in 2006. Of course, nobody drafted him. He was too much trouble and he wasn't enough talent. He was later signed by the Miami Dolphins as an undrafted free agent, but he didn't make it there. He was cut. He has since been arrested numerous times since his days at Virginia Tech. He's been in and out of jail. The only reason he's not higher on our list today, he didn't win enough. And that is one common thing among most of these quarterbacks on this list. When you win, we tend to hate you more. Marcus Vick was just kind of a jerk, but nobody hated him quite as much because he really didn't do that much. But you probably do remember not liking Marcus Vick. Moving on to number four. You just know we have to have a Notre Dame quarterback on this list, right? And while your first thought might be Jimmy Clausen, remember when he went to Notre Dame and he had his stretch limo and his frosted tips? But Notre Dame, at the point when he went there, they were kind of a joke by then. No one respected Notre Dame. No one was afraid of Notre Dame. When Jimmy Clausen went there, we all went, yeah, big deal. Go 4-8. Enjoy. We didn't really care about Notre Dame. But when our number four entry did sign to go to Notre Dame, they weren't that far removed from winning titles. The problem for him was that longtime ESPN college football personality Beano Cook went on record saying that quarterback Ron Paulus was going to win not one, two Heismans while he was there, and most likely a national championship by the time he left school. And Ron Pallas instantly had a target on his back. He wasn't horrible at Notre Dame. He just wasn't the guy that he had been made out to be. He completed just 57% of his passes. He threw 52 touchdowns during his career at Notre Dame. He only had 27 interceptions. But under Ron Pallas, the Fighting Irish went just 27-17-1. And they never won a single bowl game with him under center. Everywhere he went, opposing fans gave him a hard time about not living up to expectations. Ron Pallas was one of the most hated quarterbacks in college football history. He comes in at number four. Now, I don't even know where to start with our number three entry. Let's see. We had a BB gun shootout incident. There was that whole sexual assault accusation. He shoplifted some crab legs. He was yelling obscenities in a public place at college. He was possibly selling autographs for money. It seemed like every single day, Jameis Winston was doing something dumb while enrolled at Florida State. And while there were a number of Seminole fans that just said at the time, hey, this is just a witch hunt. They're just going after Jameis because of his name. They're just going after Jameis because of his title, because he's the quarterback at Florida State. He's just being picked on. Yeah, I think even the most ardent of Winston supporters would have to admit now, yeah, he might not make the best decisions. Of course, Winston led the Seminoles to a national championship in the 2014 BCS championship game while winning the Heisman Trophy that year. He continued winning in the 2014 season, but he kept getting in more and more trouble. Finally, the season would end when Jameis and the Seminoles would struggle versus Oregon in the 2015 Rose Bowl, and Florida State would get pounded 59-20 by the Ducks. Here is a clip of Jameis fumbling the ball late in that game from ESPN.
Ducks rush only three. Winston has all day. Tries to escape. Circles back. Still alive. Loses the football. Ball comes out. It's scooped up by the Ducks. And Tony Washington streaking to the end zone. Is that the Ducks' dagger?
You know, that loss against Oregon actually gave Jameis Winston his only loss as a starter during his entire college career. And Jameis haters watching that Rose Bowl, oh, they loved every second of it, because there were a number of people that did not like Jameis Winston. He comes in at number three. Moving on to number two. It's kind of funny because we remember our number two entry is kind of a hard luck guy in the NFL. He played for so long. He never really played for very many good teams, and so you didn't really have any hatred toward him. Oh, but I can tell you this. Back in college, when Vinny Testaverde was at the University of Miami back in the 80s, there were a number of people that hated his guts. Miami was arrogant. They were cocky. They wore camo fatigues to the games. And more than anything, Miami won. And Testaverde was the guy at the helm. He won the Heisman in 1986. He threw 48 touchdown passes that year. But then, in the Fiesta Bowl, Miami faced a very scrappy Penn State team, and it did not go quite as planned for the U, despite the fact that they were a heavy favorite. Here is a clip from the Penn State radio network of that game.
Third down and eight.
Here comes Collin again.
There's a blitz on, but Testaverde's got all day long. He fires on the run, and it is intercepted by Cobb. Cobb to the 20, seeking blockers. 25, cuts upfield to the 30-yard line. Vinny Testaverde, who was intercepted only 9 times all year long.
Vinny Testaverde threw 5 interceptions, and Penn State, who had been a huge underdog, came up with a 14-10 upset win and won the national championship. But during those 2 or 3 seasons that Vinny Testaverde was at the University of Miami, yeah, there were a number of college football fans that could not stand him. Didn't like Vinny, didn't like the U. That's just how it was back in those late 80s. A lot of people hated Vinny Testaverde. So who could be the most hated college quarterback of all time? And no, it's not Tim Tebow. While I know there were those out there that hated his squeaky clean image and he's just too nice. I mean, you can't be that nice. There's nobody that's that nice. He still had a ton of fans everywhere too. So no, he doesn't go on the list. No, our top entry had the reputation for just being a punk. He was cocky. He was arrogant. And yes, he was also talented. This quarterback came onto the scene in 2012. And what did he do as a freshman? Well, he upset number one Alabama and he became the first freshman to ever win the Heisman. But between his cashing in gesture, his preening for the cameras, his constant partying, his autograph scandal, Johnny Manziel was no doubt public enemy number one, at least outside of College Station. I know the people down at Texas A&M loved him. Nobody else really did. People hated Johnny Football. But hey, you couldn't deny his talent. Do you realize that as a freshman, Jonathan Football threw for nearly 4,000 yards and 26 touchdowns? Wait, not done yet. That's not all. He also ran for over 1,400 yards and another 21 touchdowns. That's insane. Hey, we couldn't stand him, but those numbers are absolutely crazy. That's Tecmo Bowl stuff there. And of course, we all know he washed out in the pros, but were any of us really disappointed? No, because we didn't like him. We thought he was a spoiled brat punk to begin with. We didn't care if he washed out and he was on drugs. We didn't like Johnny Manziel. Now, looking at these quarterbacks this season, we don't hate any of them yet for a couple of reasons. One, most of them still haven't won enough. Two, none of them have really done anything dumb that you're like, oh, that guy's a jerk. Like we saw with Jameis Winston, they haven't done that kind of stuff. Lastly, they haven't been around long enough for us really to develop that hatred of them. All the guys on the list played multiple years. These guys haven't done that yet, but just wait until next year. If they come back, you watch. We will start poking holes in them, poking holes in their game, and saying, well, yeah, he's good in college, but he'll never be able to do that in the NFL. He's not an NFL kind of guy, just like we did with all of these guys. Hey, it is Friday. We have made it through another week. I hope you are enjoying the Daily Dose. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for sharing the show. Thank you so much for reaching out to us. We do appreciate it all. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.